pronouncing this correctly, Loyland versus State of Washington et al.
Good morning. May it please the court. Phil Talmadge here representing Wynn and Suzanne Loyland, and it is Loyland. I'd ask to reserve 3 minutes of rebuttal time if I could, Your Honor.
3 minutes.
Thank you.
All right, you may proceed.
Thank you. This case involves an exception to the professional rescuer exception to the duty principle that's otherwise described as the rescue doctrine. Firefighter Wynn Loyland was injured as a result of the intervening negligence of two state agencies, the Washington State Patrol and the Washington State Department of Transportation. We ask that the court apply the intervening negligence exception to the professional rescuer exception as discussed by our Supreme Court in the Beaupre case and by this court in Sutton and in Ward, and allow Wynn his day in court and thus reverse the trial court's summary judgment in favor of the state in this case. As the court knows, the general principle we're talking about is the rescue doctrine. It's a duty principle. The former Justice Cardozo observed that danger invites rescue, and that was the premises for the rescue doctrine to begin with.
So in the first question, what caused Mr. Loyland to come to the scene of the place where he got injured?
Sure. The first question is that, and the answer is a very simple one, Your Honor. It was the negligence of Mr. Lopez.
Okay.
Lopez was operating his vehicle under icy conditions, too fast for those conditions. He was cited by the Washington State Patrol for that reason, and it was the precipitating cause for him, for Mr. Loyland, or Firefighter Loyland, ultimately in Engine Company 66, to be there to respond to that particular set of circumstances.
So you would agree that the doctrine should apply to Mr. Lopez then?
Well, if the professional rescuer exception applies at all, we've argued, of course, that it doesn't. If it does, yes, it would apply to Lopez, but it would not apply to WSDOT or to the State Patrol as a consequence.
I suppose the argument is that part of the reason for Mr. Lopez's accident was the failure of the Department of Transportation to promptly and timely de-ice the roadway, because there had been a request for that to occur, and it took them several hours to do it. In the meantime, Mr. Lopez had an accident. And then Mr. Trooper Alexander responded, and he failed to mark the scene appropriately, so people did not know that there was no one injured inside of the Mr. Lopez's truck. And as a result of that, there were a number of 911 calls that were made, and as a result of that, Mr. Loyland, Trooper Loyland, was dispatched to the scene. Is it your position that those the conduct of DOT and the conduct of the State Patrol trooper had nothing to do with the cause of Firefighter Loyland being dispatched to the scene?
Well, ultimately, Your Honor, I think describe it as this. It's a more simplistic analysis. Why was Engine Company 66 there? It wasn't there because of icy conditions on the road. It wasn't there because of the state trooper. It was there because the Lopez truck had spun out of control and it was on the side of the road. That was the precipitating reason for the engine company to be present on the scene.
So your position is there can be only one cause of?
No, there can be multiple causes, but the intervening negligence here is the intervening negligence of DOT and the intervening negligence of the Washington State Patrol. It is utterly inexplicable. No one can explain why Trooper Alexander, who is an experienced trooper, would not have marked the scene, would not have sought traffic control, would have not have called DOT for de-icing equipment.
Is there a case that finds intervening negligence when that intervening incident occurred prior to the firefighter or to the injured person reporting to the scene?
There are all the cases that we're talking about of intervening negligence are essentially cases of contemporaneous activities. You know, you've got Beaupre, where you've got the two Pierce County deputies basically responding to an emergency situation. So, I mean, the precipitating event is actually the emergency in that case that caused the two patrol cars of the Pierce County Sheriff's Department to be going where they were going. The court didn't get into that fine point.
But,
they said,
but the accident occurred after
it
Mr.
did.
Beaupre was
exactly
was present at the scene.
And the same thing is true here. The accident occurred after the Lopez vehicle spun off the side of the road.
But before the officer, Mr. Loyland arrived at the scene.
But before firefighter
right, Loyland. So what I'm asking about is whether there's a case that where the intervening accident occurs before the officer or the injured party arrives on the scene.
I think you could say, Your Honor, arguably in Beaupre that was the case because the emergency circumstances that precipitated the deputy sheriffs being there preceded the collision.
Well, the circumstance did.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to get at is, as I understand the rule, an intervening accident or an intervening event will occur after the firefighter arrives.
Correct.
At the scene. Here, the claimed negligence of DOT and the Washington State Patrol occurred well before before firefighter Loyland arrived at the scene. And I'm looking for some case that would describe that conduct, which occurs before the firefighter arrives, as an intervening event.
In terms of Washington law, there isn't one. But I would submit it doesn't make any difference. The intervening negligence is still the intervening negligence of the Washington State Patrol. It was something that was not part of the original circumstance for Engine Company 66 to be present on the scene. The precipitating event here was the intervening activity of the Washington State Patrol and the continuing intervening activity of the Washington State Department of Transportation and failing to de-ice Interstate 5 where they were appropriately required to do so. And so I don't think in terms of the case law that has described the intervening negligence exception, whether it's Sutton or Ward or Beaupre, that fine a distinction has been drawn. Intervening negligence is intervening negligence, and there is no question that there was intervening negligence here. It falls within the exception that was described by the Supreme Court in Maltman, and for these reasons, we ask that the court reverse the trial court's summary judgment in favor of the state, the two state agencies in this case.
Thank you. You have 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Garth Ahern. I'm here on behalf of the Washington State Patrol and the Washington State Department of Transportation. Before I proceed to my argument, I just want to make it clear on the record that Mr. Crowley, who represents Mr. Lopez, has ceded his time to me in this case, and so I will take up the remainder of the 10 minutes speaking about how the professional rescuer doctrine properly applies in this case and why the trial court's decision should be affirmed. First off, because Mr. Loyland was injured as a professional rescuer by a known hazard when responding to an accident scene, I'm going to focus the remainder of our time on the issue of whether or not the actions of WSP and DOT amounted to intervening and or independent negligence. And the simple answer to that question is no, it does not. Whether you're looking at the actions of the State Patrol or whether you're looking at the actions of the DOT, in neither event do they amount to intervening or independent negligence. Taking first off, looking at the Washington DOT, plaintiffs, by their own admission, have premised their case on the allegation that, in fact, the failure to de-ice caused Mr. Lopez to lose control of his car. And Lieutenant Riley, who was the commanding officer of Engine 66, acknowledges that when they arrived on scene, they were there to address the Lopez vehicle. As a result, the actions of DOT were a cause of why Mr. Loyland is at the scene where he was injured.
I think the argument there is that they're a cause and part of cause of the accident, but they're not a cause of the reason firefighter Loyland was dispatched there. They might be proximate cause for Mr. Lopez's purposes, but for purposes of the firefighter, they're not. They're separate. What caused the firefighter to be dispatched to the scene was the accident, not the de-icing and not the trooper's failure to mark the scene.
Now, the application of the doctrine in Washington State has never made such a fine distinction as to you having to be the single cause. There can, as you, I think, alluded to earlier, there can be multiple causes of why a professional rescuer comes to a scene. And I think we can all think about...
Do you have a case that supports that?
Yes. I mean, if you look at, I think the closest one that we have here in the state of Washington would most likely be, and I want to say it is the Ward case, where they're discussing police officers being dispatched to a scene where the prowler, to seek out a prowler, and they're indicating that the prowler would have protection under the rescuer doctrine. And presumably, whoever made the call to have the police come out to the scene and search for this prowler would have the protection as well. So I think that's the closest case we have in the state of Washington that would make it clear that being a cause of why the officer is dispatched to the scene provides you protection under the professional rescuer's doctrine.
Well, it's a little bit different because the one, there's no negligence, at least it doesn't appear to be any negligence on the part of the caller, so I don't know how they would be subject to suit anyway. But and the prowler, arguably that's intentional conduct as opposed to negligent conduct, which is excluded under a different theory. So.
But I don't think any of the cases that I've looked in the state of Washington never made the distinction that you had to be the sole cause or that you even had to be negligent to have the protection of the doctrine. You simply had to be a cause of why the professional rescuer was at the scene. And in this case, plaintiffs have indicated that the actions of DOT were a cause of the Lopez accident, which is why Firefighter Loyland was at the scene, and as a result, the protection therefore applies. The same goes for WSP.
Would it be a different case? Appellants characterized the negligence of DOT as continuing. So would it have been a different case that after Engine 66 was dispatched, all of a sudden DOT shows up and starts de-icing right there, and then the accident occurred? Would that be a different case?
Well, the question you'd have to ask yourself is, was the action by DOT when they're out there doing the de-icing, did that somehow was that an independent cause of the injury to a Mr. Loyland?
Well, let's just say, to expand the hypothetical, that they are de-icing a different section of the road. They respond, but they haven't gotten to this section.
Under those facts, no, because you can't show that there's some affirmative act taken by DOT was an independent act that caused damage to Mr. Loyland. Here, all we have is DOT failed to ice the roadway in a time that they think should have been done, and that as a result, Mr. Loyland was dispatched to the scene, and therefore he was injured at the scene by a known hazard of responding to these types of things, and therefore the doctrine applies. Now, certainly, if there was a situation where Mr. Loyland was at the scene as a firefighter and DOT came along and negligently laid down some de-icer and that caused Mr. Loyland to be injured, that would be a completely different and separate issue than what we have here. We don't have any independent or intervening act by either WSP or DOT when Mr. Loyland was on the scene.
So what would be the difference then? Wouldn't they both be allegedly negligent acts? The complete failure to de-ice versus negligently de-icing, wouldn't they both allegedly be negligent acts?
Well, in this case, they failed to de-ice, which is the allegation of the plaintiff, which led to the Lopez accident, and that's why Mr. Loyland would be at the scene. Because they are a cause of Mr. Loyland being at the scene, they have no duty owed to Mr. Loyland under the facts of this case. They have immunity. So whether or not you say, the failure to timely de-ice within the time preceding was a cause of him being at the scene or what have you, it's really not relevant to the analysis. The question is, and as laid out in Maltman and the other cases, is was it a cause? If it's a cause and he's injured by a known problem, which being hit by cars, unfortunately, is a known issue for firefighters and law enforcement, then the doctrine applies, and that's why it applies here. It's the same thing with the State Patrol, frankly. Plaintiff's case has been premised on the allegation that if, I believe he's a captain now, Captain Alexander, had acted differently, Mr. Loyland, as a professional firefighter, wouldn't have been dispatched to the scene. Well, therefore, Captain Alexander, whether you think his actions were negligent or not, was a cause of why Loyland was there, one of many causes that day. But nonetheless, they're protected by the doctor.
How do we know that connection, though, between Alexander's actions and it being a cause of? I mean, you can see the failure to de-ice led to the accident. The accident is what led to Loyland being dispatched. But the trooper's action of not marking, I mean, how did that come to play in causing Loyland to be dispatched?
I'm just simply going off the arguments that the plaintiffs have made. They've offered that then led to people calling in, which that's clear. People were calling in. There was some confusion about whether there had been another accident. So assuming
they argued it would have prevented Mr. Loyland from being dispatched.
Well, and then that's the end of the analysis, Your Honor, because
you think it's the same thing?
Yes, I do, because if they're saying it would have prevented, that's no, although they'll deny it, and they've denied it in their briefing, that's a cause. If it would have prevented him from being there, then that's a cause of why Mr. Loyland was there, and therefore the doctrine applies. Going to my next point, Your Honor, there's no continuing negligence exception. Plaintiffs have attempted to allude to that. There's never been any type of negligent, continuing negligence exception here recognized here in the state of Washington. And the reason why that is what you essentially do is create a duty to remedy the reason why you called or why the professional rescuer was out to the scene, whether you're a small business owner, a private homeowner, a large entity, or even a state agency. You would then have – it would essentially swallow the rule, which the court since the 1970s has said, look, if you're a cause, regardless of what your status is, as they said in Bope, whether you're a state agency or not, then you then get the protections of the professional rescuer's doctrine. Now, I think the court earlier talked about the Beaupre case a little bit. I want to put a point on that because I think it's important to recognize. In that case, the reason why Pierce County wasn't entitled to professional rescuer's doctrine is because the other agency's actions weren't a cause of why they were going out to the scene. They were both going out to the scene, and the negligence of the other agency's driver is what caused the accident, not what the reason why they were going out to the scene. So whoever was the cause of them coming out to the scene, whether it was one, two, three, or multiple people, or multiple groups, or multiple entities, they were protected by the doctrine. And so, going back to in this case, I want to reiterate, the state has waived sovereign immunity. They're entitled to the defenses like any other individual entity or what have you. Beaupre stands for that proposition when they say that it's never been an issue as to whether or not the doctrine applies. Mr. Loyland was out at the scene as a professional rescuer due to the actions, as plaintiffs claim, the actions of the state, and therefore the professional rescuer doctrine applies.
Thank you.
Just to clear up one point, do you agree that being hit by a passing car is one of the inherent dangers of the rescue attempt that was going on here?
Not under these circumstances, Your Honor, no. It's not inherently in the nature of coming to observe a car off the side of the road. And that's why it's important to go back to the basic premises of liability here, the rescue doctrine itself, which is a doctrine that applies when someone comes to the rescue of someone. The doctrine comes into play not because of all the elaborate arcane arguments the state wants to make about causation, but basically why did Engine Company 66 have to be at the side of the road? It was there because Mr. Lopez was negligent in the operation of his vehicle, spun out, and the vehicle was on the side of the road. That was the precipitating rescue event. It's not causation for the accident. It's the precipitating rescue event, which is the vehicle. The intervening negligence, then, is the Washington State Patrol and the Washington State Department of Transportation. It is utterly inexplicable why an experienced Washington State trooper would think that he didn't have to mark the road, he didn't have to put up traffic control, he didn't have to call anybody, he didn't have to seek out de-icing of the situation, but he did have to transport a couple of guys to Denny's. I mean, that makes no sense. And the Department of Transportation has never explained why it took 4 hours to come to the scene
when there were repeated calls to the State Department of Transportation saying, what's going on here? We need to have somebody de-ice this road. The bottom line is this. In Moltmann, the court talked about this odd professional rescuer exception. It's not an absolute bar to professional rescuers seeking liability under the rescue doctrine. And there is a formulation that the court has in the opinion. The question is whether the actions of the State Patrol, Department of Transportation, and then subsequently the Perez vehicle that crossed four lanes of traffic to strike my client were within the reasonably foreseeable realm of the peril caused by Lopez's original negligence, his spin out because he was operating too fast and being off the side of the road, but outside the dangers invariably involved with responding to a roadside vehicle. In response to your question, Judge Spearman, it is not invariably the circumstance that basically you assume the risk of getting hit by a car every time you respond to a roadside spin-out set of circumstances. That is not the case, particularly where you have these facts that are so bizarre, so inexplicable, as to an experienced Washington State trooper who later becomes a captain of the State Patrol, and the State Department of Transportation, who to this day has never explained why they just kind of blithely said, hey, we don't have to send de-icing equipment to this site, when they were getting call after call after call after call about hazards there. That's why the intervening negligence theory allows Wynn Loyland to have his day in court in this case, and the trial court erred.
Thank you, counsel.